I've been around 600 episodes. That's a really long time. To celebrate, I'm going to talk about some cardboard. Tonight is January 21st, 2018, and the Bobby Blackwell Show, featuring your calls and chat comments, is up next. So you would say, even if... Okay, I'll let you go. You talk. Wow, what happened to your voice? Thank you, Skype. So video games, that's what the show is about.
This is that one Akia Ripper from Sweden.
And what's with all the Halo hate, Bob? You've been hating on Halo a lot lately.
I just don't like shooters. I'm not saying it's a bad game, I just don't like it. Billy O'Kay says he can't be seen in public playing games that aren't hardcore. What would people say? And what up, G and Chad is once again talking about wrestling. That's why. It's not because they hate the fans. It's more because they have to start from scratch.
Hogwash later.
From a little room in Atlanta, Georgia, Bobby Blackwell.
Yes, that intro has been around for like 400 episodes or something. That intro was before we moved to this network. That's how old it is. Some of those people don't even listen anymore. Hello, everybody, and welcome to the 600th episode of the Bobby Blackwell Show, where we discuss the current news affecting the video game industry, as well as sometimes reminisce about gaming's history. My name is Bobby Blackwell. If you're joining us live here on the Voice of Geeks Network at VogNetwork.com, welcome. Head on over to our chat room. It's over at live.VogNetwork.com. I'll be trying to read intelligent comments from chat throughout the night. And you can check in, and you might even get a little bit of a gift, a digital gift on the site. If you go over, you're signed in, and you go check in on the live page, you can get a gift, as well as some love from me. Just like Tiger Claw and Dark Tetsuya, they're around all the time, so thank you so much for being here week in and week out. You can join them in that, and if you're on the podcast feed, you can also get the exact same gift. There will be a passphrase somewhere in the episode, and you can redeem that for the exact same gift that is being bestowed upon the live audience, a digital gift. A little bit later on, I am going to be opening up our Skype line and our toll-free number for you to call in. Skype line is Bobby Blackwell Show, that is all one word, or toll-free in North America, 1-888-36-GAME-1. Or you can comment on an episode over here at VogNetwork.com. I do apologize. I know if you're here live and you're like, where was episode 599? I got the flu this week, you know, because they've got that, what is it, the H2N3 strain or something that, like, even the flu shot's only 10% effective against or something. It's like this brand new strain. Yeah, I got it. So that was my week, the end of my week at least. That precluded me from sitting up and editing things. So it's still sitting here waiting to be edited. So I apologize for that, but that's what happened there. I am on the mend, but I don't know. You can take bets on when the first coughing fit will be live, folks. I edit the coughing fits out of the podcast, so don't worry if you're on the podcast feed. But it will probably happen at some point. You can take bets on how many minutes it'll be. I'm getting over that. So I didn't get to do too much in the past couple days other than sleep. But I got off the computer for a while. Fluke says H2N3. It's sad when the flu sounds like it's closer to Half-Life 3 than Valve ever will be. Aw, womp womp. Half-Life 3 confirmed. You heard it here first. One of the first things I did kind of want to mention also, even though this is a very, this is not going to be a special show. I know it's like a big, nice round number, 600. Not many people get to 60. And I understand that this is basically going to be just a regular show. I have, stopped really celebrating milestones after about episode 200, I think. It's just another night. Unfortunately, we did get dropped from YouTube. We're being dropped out of the YouTube partner program, which means that I think my YouTube career is over. Which also means just, you know, kind of give a heads up. I won't be like attending places like MomoCon as press anymore, or doing interviews there, because really the only reason they were letting us in was because of our YouTube numbers. And now our YouTube numbers are no longer good enough for YouTube. So we got fired this year, or we will be getting fired on February 20th. We got the notice. And I know Tucker Law says forget YouTube, Twitch is where it's at. You can upload videos to Twitch as well. We might. We may actually really start looking a little bit harder at that. We do have a VOG Network Twitch channel that has never been used. All it does is auto host a bunch of us. But yeah, so we're going to try to figure out, because unfortunately, as much as I hate to say it, podcasting alone doesn't get you recognition anymore, because you can't independently track how many people are listening. So that's why they kind of rely on YouTube or Twitch numbers and stuff. And when YouTube wants us to give them content for the exposure after paying us for years, which we actually did get checks from YouTube, so don't think that we didn't make any money off YouTube. We were able to run the site for, I think we paid for like a year of the site maybe out of YouTube dollars. Like 1 year out of the 6 years we've been in existence or something like that. But it was still, you know, it was still something. So, yeah, and Dungeon Bus says, be careful with using Twitch as an alternative archive. That's temporary until you sub. Yeah, and our VOG Network channel is not partnered or anything. It's all the, you know, the individual channels get partnered. So I don't know what we're going to do. But I can see for in the short term, there aren't going to be any more YouTube videos or videos that we are producing and editing in Premiere and stuff like that. We get to reevaluate some things and see where we want to go. Just kind of wanted to, you're going to see like a lot of smaller creators and YouTube channels have gotten hit with this. Even some that were initially invited into the partner program, like back in 2006, they got cut because they didn't have enough view time or something like that. You have to have like 1,000 subscribers and 4,000 hours of watch time in the last year. That's the harder thing to hit. And then they will consider you for the partner program that you have already been in for several years. So a little bitter, but it means videos are a lot of work. So maybe I'm saving myself a lot of trouble. Maybe if my internet gets stable again, I might do some Twitch stuff. I don't know. But I really like doing the podcast. So I'm kind of at the point where I've done all the stuff. Like, I've covered E3, I've covered GDC, I've been to PAX, I've been to MAGFest, I've done MomoCon. I've done it, and so now I don't need to necessarily do it anymore, and I'll let some of the younger guys that have a larger audience have the spot that I used to take. Kaijudo says, who says you need to be a partner to do YouTube channel, do YouTube content, just do the channel anyway. Here's the thing. I don't work for exposure after being paid for something. If they hadn't already started paying me, I would be okay with it. But since I've already hit their metrics and then they changed the goalposts, I don't play anymore. Because they're just going to move the goalposts again on us. So it's really not worth our time. It's not worth my time. I'm too old to play the games. To register participation for this week's episode of the Bobby Blackwell Show on VogNetwork.com, use the passphrase garden. Let's get some happier news, and we're going to talk about what Nintendo dropped this week. And it was kind of funny that you know, everybody was expecting something huge, even though Nintendo came out and said, "Hey, we're going to show something," and it's really different from everything else, and it's really aimed for kids. And everybody's like, "Ooh, it's going to be Smash Brothers," or "Ooh, it's going to be Mother 3." It was so funny watching the internet get so salty over this, because Nintendo came out and said, yeah, we're going to show something a little different, and people didn't like it. What they showed was Nintendo Labo, and Nintendo Labo is a kind of not really a do-it-yourself kit. It's more like, you know, following Lego directions, and not necessarily making your own stuff yet. But essentially what they have found out is that they can use cardboard to make extensions of the Joy-Con controllers and have them do different things than you would normally do with Joy-Cons. And so basically it's a lot of people are saying, oh, they just announced a whole bunch of cardboard, and everybody's like, well, Why are they working on that instead of Virtual Console? And why are they working on that instead of porting Smash Brothers to the Switch? And why are they working on that instead of giving me a new F-Zero? Here's the thing. The people that made this are not the same people that are network netcode engineers that would be working on Nintendo's online service. They're not the same people that would be working on the emulation that would be in Virtual Console. These completely different group of people. And I know the next thing you're going to say is, well, maybe they shouldn't pay those people and instead pay more people that are emulation people to get Virtual Console. And software development doesn't work like that. The more software developers you put on a problem, the worse you make it. Trust me. I've been in the software development industry for 18 years now. Throwing more people at the problem does not get it solved quicker. Sometimes doesn't even get it solved at all. So Nintendo Labo, it's aimed at kids because kids love building things and then seeing things work. And if you've been around kids, which I do not have kids, so I am taking other people's words for it, is that, you know, kids will love to take cardboard boxes and make things out of them and make forts out of them or hide under them. You know, cats like to do this too, so I don't know what that says about cats and kids. But what Nintendo is actually doing is more than just cardboard boxes. And what they've done is they've made several different playing experiences using the Switch and using just these recyclable pieces of cardboard that could probably be easily replaced. It's a fun little project for kids to learn about. It's actually teaching them a little bit about engineering and structure and architecture and things like that. Things that kids really enjoy doing. That's why, as kids, you enjoyed taking Legos and building things out of them. Because you enjoyed seeing how things got put together and seeing if you could put things together in a better way. So they've come up with this concept where you actually have several different play styles, and it's not just cardboard. And you watch the video, and you're like, how does any of this work? And if you the video actually shows you how things work. It actually uses like infrared sensors that the IR camera sees, that nothing uses except 1-2 Switch. There's a little IR camera on the bottom one of the Joy-Cons. It uses that. There are strings. There are, you know, other things that they do that's more than just cardboard. But all people saw was it's cardboard and they're trying to sell it to me for $70. Well, realize there's also a game in there. So, you know, Switch games are usually $40 to $50. So really you're only spending $20 to $30 on cardboard, which is still a lot of money. But the reaction is what I was looking at. And I'm going to read, and I'm going to actually tell you how some of this stuff actually works. But the reaction, I can kind of guess how somebody would react based on, you know, what I know about them. And if somebody was, you know, a hardcore gamer who, you know, really wants their Smash Brothers, wants, Call of Duty, all that stuff, they're going to say this is the stupidest idea. Nintendo is doomed. This is another Virtual Boy, stuff like that. Everybody I know who are parents buying this day one. I showed the trailer to my fiance. She was giddy. And she wants it day one because she's crafty. And she's like, I've already got the tape to make the cardboard stronger. It's going to be colored, and I'm going to color things up. And, you know, yeah. So there is a segment of the population that is extremely excited about this, and it ain't us. I mean, I'm excited, too, for it. But I'm also, you know, weird, and I'm not a lot like other people around here. SJ100 Matt says, all jokes about Nintendo selling people cardboard aside, this is a very cute way to get into the toy business by Nintendo. I see this being used to have parents and kids bond by working together to build something fun to enjoy. And Nintendo's pretty much always been in the toy business. Or at least, you know, they started with playing cards. They were always, you know, really into it for the toys. S. Joe Under Matt says, this gets kids interested and gets them to learn about building things while engaging parents with their kids through gaming. I'm all for Labo. If I was a parent with kids who play games, I would be all for this. You can be all for it and not buy it. Let me put it that way. Tiger Claw says, if adults played with cardboard, the cardboard won't last for long. Well, it depends on the type of adult. Some adults treat their stuff a little better than kids. Some adults do not. Sterlock says that Labo is definitely not for me, but it's a supremely brilliant idea, and it will print Nintendo a crap load of money. And everybody's like, Nintendo's going to fail. Nintendo's going to fail. No, they're going to be printing money. They're going to print lots of money on this thing. ActDef says, my brother, who was actually studying mechanical engineering, was smiling during the whole Labo video. He was legit happy about this. SJ Wonder Matt says, Labo makes me wish I had kids of my own to play this with. Matt, you have a kid inside of you. I'm just saying. That's our excuse. Because we're getting this day one and I don't have any kids. Dungeon Buster asks, will you be able to get replacement additional cardboard patterns when you run out, or do you have to get a new pack all over again? They have not stated that, but everybody is assuming, which is a very terrible thing to be doing. They are assuming that, yeah, you will be able to get replacement parts. Fifth Dream says, when I was a kid, I got picked on mercilessly for watching cartoons and playing with toys. Now all you with your Minions and cardboard Nintendos. And then he says something that I'm not going to repeat. Dark Tetsuya says, I did hear Nintendo was thinking of opening up to other developers if they want to use Labo in their games for other peripherals or what have you. So there are two kits. There's the Variety Kit and then I think what the Robot Kit. I didn't write that part down, which is basic, and it's not VR, even though like it looks like it is VR. But the robot one, and I think it's the giant robot demo that Miyamoto showed off with the Wii U that didn't go anywhere years ago. Basically, it was you're actually like wearing this whole suit, and there's like a Joy-Con at your head that does the head tracking, and then a Joy-Con in the backpack that's reading infrared strings, and so that's how you can walk and punch and all that stuff. It's interesting. And Brad from Pod Culture says it is CR, cardboard reality. See, here's what actually happened, is that Nintendo looked at Sony and Microsoft, and they're like, oh, they're going for their 4K, and they're looking at their virtual reality stuff, and Nintendo's like, no, we're actually going to deal with actual reality. We're going to give you actual real objects that are in your room. So how some of this stuff works, this is actually some of the neat stuff. So Nintendo Life actually got a demo of it and put out a hands-on report, and they actually say that you know, it's easy to dismiss this because Google Cardboard's VR headset have perhaps prejudiced people against cheap and disposable material. However, Nintendo is using cardboard to shape the future of creative play, not just in the realm of video games, but in toys as well. At its most basic, Labo is a selection of flat-packed creations dubbed Toy-Con, which are assembled with the aid of on-screen instructions like those seen in LEGO Dimensions. These play out on the Switch's screen and show you step-by-step how to construct these objects, allowing you to rotate the model in full 3D to ensure you've got everything slotted in the correct place. The Toy-Con all make use of the main Switch console and Joy-Con in unique ways. The most basic creation is the Toy-Con RC car, which is actually a remote-controlled bug-like creature not entirely dissimilar in concept to the Hexbug Nano range of toys. And this takes around 10 minutes to make and uses the HD rumble of two Joy-Cons to move around the room. That, I think, is just fascinating right there. They figured out how to do that. You control the action with the Switch touchscreen, and you can even view the world through the right-hand Joy-Con's IR camera, sending the bug on secret missions inside unexplored nooks and crannies. Outside of that, the potential for competitive play is obvious. One of the demonstrations we took part was a sumo battle where the last bug inside the circle wins. So let me repeat that. They figured out how to use the force feedback in the controllers to actually walk a piece of cardboard across your floor. That's actually kind of impressive. If you're jaded, I understand you won't find that impressive, but that's actually impressive that they figure out how to do that with cardboard. At the other end of the scale, there's the aforementioned the piano, which is utterly, utterly ingenious. Everything is made from cardboard, right down to the keys, which use folded flaps to spring back into place when pressed. The Joy-Con slots into the back, with its IR camera pointed at a small slot just above the rear of the keys. When one is pressed, it pops into view through the slot and reveals a small strip of reflective tape. The camera picks this up and plays the relevant note. The same visual trick is used to change the tone of the keyboard, adjust the pitch, record patterns, and much more. Besides, you can even use the slot on the top of the piano to insert a cutout created by yourself, that which changes the sound of a key press based on the shape of the cardboard. The first time you witness this, it's nothing short of magic. You can't fathom how this primitive cardboard assembly is producing these sounds with such accuracy, despite the promotional video showing it quite clearly. Run your finger down the keys and it plays a perfect sequence of notes. Turn the dial on the top left and the tone of each note is subtly altered. Even when you realize the IR camera is behind all of this, perhaps the best application it's ever had, in fact, you'll struggle to withhold your amazement. It's jaw-dropping stuff, made with all the more remarkably by the fact that Nintendo takes delight in lifting the curtain and showing how it's done. The app even presents you with a real-time readout, which shows the hitboxes the IR camera is looking for so you can place the reflective tape correctly. Even when fully constructed, the piano is an easy-to-access flap which allows you to open it up and view how it all works inside. There's a childlike joy in seeing how these tricks are revealed. The thing is, that's for kids. That's exactly what a lot of kids, maybe not Kaijudo, he's been bragging in chat about how he didn't fall for any of this stuff that kids today are falling for, but non-Kaijudo kids, that's exactly the kind of stuff that fascinates them. Fifth Dream says, oh, come on, see if this even sells before you're like Nintendo reinvented childhood. I'm going to go ahead and say this is going to sell. This is going to sell more than Eye of Judgment. I'm going to tell you that right now. I mean, that's not a high bar, but it's going to sell more than Eye of Judgment. And yes, it's going to sell. I actually have a friend who now wants to get a Switch because of this. It's actually a system seller. Believe it or not, this is a system seller. The only other Toy-Con that Nintendo Life got to play with was the fishing rod, which features a clever telescopic design and a fairly lengthy build. One Joy-Con is inserted into the handle, which can be turned to reel in your catch, while the other Joy-Con slots into the bottom of the rod to track how you're holding it. The Switch slots into a cardboard dock, which connects to the rod itself via the line. The physical line disappears over the top of the screen and appears on the display, creating a surprisingly convincing connection between the real and virtual worlds. When you get a bite, a quick flick of the rod snags the catch. Then there's the case of gingerly reeling in your prize without putting in too much tension on the fragile line. Sink your hook down in the shadowy depths of the ocean, you'll pass wrecked ships and larger fishes, including some which can only be lured by first hooking a smaller fish and using it as bait. There's a degree of depth here that isn't immediately obvious at first glance, and all of the Toy-Con models included featured similarly engaging activities and games. This is peak Nintendo. And this is why I love Nintendo, is that they always try things that nobody expects. They fail sometimes, they succeed sometimes. Let me remind you, Force Feedback was considered a gimmick when Nintendo released the N64 Rumble Pack. Nobody understood why you'd want to have your controller shake in your hand. Look where it is now. Everybody thought gaming on a touchscreen was a gimmick, that nobody would want to play games on a touchscreen when Nintendo released the DS. The most popular gaming platform, obviously, is not a Nintendo platform. It's a cell phone, which is all touchscreen. Yes, I know the Virtual Boy exists. Yes, I know the Power Glove exists. Not all of them can be hits. So, you know, it really depends on how this is received and how many people actually buy it and if there is a shortage of cardboard. Luckily, this is all easily recyclable material. So I'm going to be interesting to see where they go with this and see if they'll even have, like, some DIY kits where you can make your own stuff. That is not the thing you can do here. You can't make your own creations yet. But I can see if this really does take off, especially if it gets mainstream news attention, I can see that this could be a brand new line of stuff from Nintendo that completely separates them and differentiates them from Sony and Microsoft. And Dunjaba says, I don't get the Labo hate. It's not like it's the only product in Nintendo's pipeline. Last I checked, Octopath Traveler is still coming out on the Switch. So is, like, Dark Souls Remastered and The World Ends With You and a whole bunch of other stuff that everybody that other people want. And like I said, the people that created this are not the same people that would be working on an online service or a virtual console or things like that. And Nintendo wants to, as always, wanted to expand the market. They've always wanted to reach people that they normally don't get, and that's what this is. Octopath Traveler is not going to help them reach into a new market. They're still going to have it. It's still going to be there. You know, a new Smash Brothers isn't going to help them reach into a new market, but this will. So the first two kits are $70 and $80, respectively. They come out on April 20th. Those include the base game, and the $70 one has several toy cons. The $80 one has just the one, but it's the huge bodysuit. It's they're probably going to sell out quick. And SJ Wonder Matt says, I'm glad that Nintendo didn't reveal this during that recent Direct because there would have been a lot more backlash. They know, I think they're figuring out their audience. And but even when they were saying this is something different, everybody's like, oh, they really mean it's just it's going to be new Smash. They're bringing Smash. No. They'll bring Smash eventually. They just weren't doing it here. So we are going to take a quick music break, and then we'll take your calls. You can tell me if there was some other stuff that I might have missed. Remember, I had the flu this week, so I missed the like latter half of the week. Like, the Nintendo Labo announcement was made, like, right when I was coming down with the flu. So it was kind of like the last gaming news story I saw for the week. So maybe you can fill me in. Or you could talk about if you've been playing something recently. We can talk about some of that stuff. So we're going to take a quick music break and then be right back. You're participating with the Bobby Blackwell Show here on the Voice Geeks Network at VogNetwork.com.
I'm Commander Shepard, and this is my favorite podcast on the Citadel. I'm Jennifer Hale, sometimes known as Commander Shepard, sometimes known as Basta Lashon, sometimes known as
Princess Marbox.
And you're participating with the Bobby Black Wolf Show.
Yeah, see, I got FemShep on my show. Yeah. If you want to leave a bumper for the next 600 episodes, you do not have to be a Shepard of any kind. All I have to do is send me an MP3 with just your voice to bumpers@bobbyblackwolf.com or leave a voicemail on the toll-free number. It was actually kind of interesting. So during the break, we had a chat conversation because I was playing a song from The World Ends With You, which is coming out on the Switch, as we were talking about. Even though they're releasing cardboard, they're still releasing games that our audience would like. And I think ActDeft said, yeah, I still have it on the DS. I should probably go back to it. And I still have it on the DS as well. But it's been so many years since I've played it, I'd have to start over. And that's my issue with long RPGs is because I will get like too busy to continue playing, and then I'll forget everything. And what sucks is I'll be like 18 hours into this RPG. And I'll like, A, forget how to play, forget the story, forget how I was building my characters, because a lot of times you're like, okay, well, I'm going to have this character be built this way, and this is what I'm going for. Completely forget all that. And so it's like, well, I guess I better start from the beginning. I think I've probably played the beginning of Final Fantasy VII like six or seven times in my life. So I know the beginning, but I just then it's like, oh, yeah, I guess I should continue playing at sometime. You know, and Dungeon Buster will say, I usually try to go back, if it lets me, to some areas to work up the mechanics again, but remembering the story or what I need to do next is sometimes another matter. It helps if the game keeps an in-game journal, but not every game does a good job with that. I think, what, Final Fantasy XIII, I want to say, when you started the game, it actually had, like, this narrator go, here's the story so far, and, like, kind of chronicling what just happened. That, I thought, was great. And I want to say that was it was if it wasn't 13 proper, it was like 13-2 did that. Somebody can kind of correct me on that. You know, it's so that helps. And I mean, there are also like there are game journals that you can flip through. You know, like I know the Kingdom Hearts series, you can always flip back through and it would be like, oh, yeah, here's what you did here and here's what you did here. Yeah, and Rob Roberts says 13 had a really good journal, but not what you were describing. But yeah, that might have been 13-2. It was like the loading screen would like actually detail like where you just were in the game and what you had just done, or what had just happened in the story. And E3VL says it was 13, but there was also auto battle to help gameplay. So it wasn't actual voiceover. It was just it was there on the loading screen. So that's why I love playing long RPGs. I just never finish them. And it's because I always move on to something else. I'm going to open to the phone lines. And you can call in. Bobby Blackwell Show on Skype, or the toll-free number is 1-888-36-GAME-1. It's toll-free in North America. E3VL says he thought it was a mini movie when you loaded the game. It's been so long. See, I lost my Final Fantasy 13 save when my PS3 bit the dust. But it turns out I did have a Final Fantasy 13 save on my cloud, on the PlayStation Plus cloud. I let PlayStation Plus lapse at the time. So I actually still have a late save. But at this point, if I go back to 13, I'm going to play it from the beginning. Because it's been so long, and I forget how I was building all my characters up and what I was having each of them do. I might as well just start it from the beginning. I think in 13, I got almost to the open world part. I think I was one chapter before the open world part. Dungeon Bus said, you were close. If you reach the open world in 13, you're only about a third away from the end. Hey, I can tell you stories about how close I've gotten to the end. I made it to Disc 3 in Final Fantasy 7 and then never finished it. And you know that's a big deal because like Disc 3 is just the final dungeon. I never did it. Like what I feel bad about is like I got Persona 5 and like I stopped playing that and I think I'm still in like May in the game. And so I'd have to start that one over again because I don't remember okay what relationships was I going after and all that stuff. So yeah, so I got to restart a lot of stuff. Maybe when I build my home theater and I have like this huge movie projection screen that I'm playing all my games on, I'll go back and revisit some of these because, man, Persona 5 would look really nice on a huge screen, wouldn't it? Dungeon Bus says, Black Wolf needs clones of himself to help finish those RPGs. No, what he needs is less responsibilities in life so he can spend more time playing video games. E3VL says, was Disc 3 the death scene or was that 2? I think the death scene actually ended Disc 1, if it's the death scene I think you're thinking about. Spoiler alert, there's a death scene in Final Fantasy VII. I think that closed out Disc 1. Back in the day when they were on multiple discs. SJ100Matt says, see, this is why I hate what YouTube did, because I would have liked a series of Bobby's Theater being built. I was actually planning that. I was actually thinking about doing that, because like we haven't started yet, so I mean, it's still a storage area, so... yeah, since nobody's calling, and I've tried to talk about this a couple times before, so I'm going to be building a home theater in my house, and no, I'm not going to live stream it because I'm using external builders, and so they don't necessarily want to be live streamed to the internet. Can't imagine why not. I wouldn't want to be live streamed doing that anyway. I'm going to be taking – It's actually a very narrow room. It's about 12 feet wide, but like 19 feet deep. And we're going to wall it in. There's three walls there now, and it's a finished basement. Adding a fourth wall to kind of give a back wall, walling up the windows so there's no ambient light coming in. Going to put in two tiers of seating with six really nice theater chairs. Like, yeah, these are really nice theater chairs. And not like what you'd find in a movie theater. These are more like recliners, like they're home theater chairs with LED lights and everything and cup holders and stuff. And then probably, I think what they said, 120-inch screen with and Kazan says, are you going OLED? No, I'm going projector. So I'm going with the Optima UHD 60, even though I know the UHD 50 was announced at CES, but it is a faux 4K projector. So it's not true 4K. True 4K projectors are still like $5,000 to $7,000. Not spending that much on a projector right now. But I'm getting a 4K projector that still has HDR 10, which I think is still the current accepted standard, not Dolby Vision. But it's going to have HDR. So it's a 4K HDR projector. It's not going to be great for fighting games. I think they said it's a 45 millisecond lag, which is, you know, a lot more than what you'd want when you're playing a fighting game. But I don't play fighting games, so I'm totally cool with that. I'm going to be getting that. I'm finally going to jump into the Xbox One X and the PS4 Pro. So I'll have the movie. I'm getting the full Dolby Atmos sound system, which is like the like 9 speakers, some in the ceiling, all that stuff for those. So like on the Ultra HD Blu-ray movies, but then some games also have it too, have the Dolby Atmos. So yeah, and E3 Vale says I miss 3D with glasses. Sad they don't make any with 4K. And since I'm stereo blind, I really didn't care about the lack of a 3D functionality. I think actually the UHD 50 can do 3D though. That's kind of what some were saying from CES, that projector. But the UHD 60 doesn't do 3D. But I have PlayStation VR, and that allows me to play 3D Blu-rays. And I can kind of see them in PlayStation VR. So that's where I'm going to get my 3D fix if I want to play something in 3D. Cousin says, play DDR on it. Oh, wait. Luckily, like Rock Band, you can calibrate Rock Band. So it's not as big of a deal with like Rock Band playing on that projector. And yeah, we probably will have a Rock Band night with my friends. Dungeon Buster says, I hope Bobby's Theater will have a popcorn machine with one of those tumbler things inside. No, everybody says that we need that. We don't eat enough popcorn. I have no kids. Like, that's great if you have like kids or you always have people over. But we don't eat enough popcorn to make it worth having one of those big machines. Cause the home theater company I'm using sells those. They showed one to us. We're like, yeah, no, don't need it. We are going to have an arcade out in the lobby. That's instead of the popcorn machine, we're going to go have the arcade in the lobby. And Tiger Claw eats popcorn all the time. But yeah, you can just pop it in the microwave. That's all we do. We don't need like a huge thing that makes popcorn. So, and unfortunately, I know Rob is going to visit. And I don't know if he's actually going to be able to visit up here where I'm at, but he will be visiting. Unfortunately, I don't think my theater will be available when Rob comes and visits in a couple months. I think I'm looking at probably May or June is when my theater will be complete. Takes a while to get all this stuff. Because honestly, they haven't even started yet. Like they've come and taken measurements. I've actually got like drawings and diagrams of how the room's going to look. And I've gotten like the estimates and I've put the deposit down and started the process of everything. But still waiting on the builder to get back to me with some of his estimates and picking out carpet and paint and lights and stuff like that. SJ Winner Matt says, what you need is a Tom Servo and Crow so you can have a Bobby Blackwell Theater 3000. ActF says, Vogue Theater 3000 with Travis, Rob, and Blackwolf. All right, so episode 600, nobody actually wanted to call in. So that is totally fine, because you know what? You know what? Orange Lounge Radio will talk to me. I know that they will talk to me, because they're coming up next here on the Voice of Geeks Network, and we like to check in with them. Sacramento, are you guys there?
Well, I'm here, Bobby. How are you?
I'm doing well. Nobody else wants to talk to me. I hope you want to talk to me.
That's okay. I will definitely talk to you. My studio is actually empty. Jamie's running a little behind, and we don't have Loki tonight. He had a family thing. One of his kids has a birthday today. So.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, happy birthday to Loki's kid.
Yes. We go from a studio very, very full last week to a studio that's kind of empty this week, but that's the way these things go sometimes.
So so are you looking forward to Cardboard?
I think it's a really neat idea. Like, it's one of those things. You said something that kind of hits the nail on the head for me. You can support it without wanting to buy it. I think that's kind of where I'm at. The price is a little much for me. And it's not just the fact that it's just cardboard. It's the fact that the games are not likely going to be very robust. They probably will be kind of glorified tech demos, which, you know, again, for the target audience, which again is kids, that's great. But for me, I don't think there's a lot there for me. But I think it's a really neat idea. I think it's really cool that Nintendo's kind of pushing itself a little more into that toy space in regards. I mean, obviously they have Amiibo, but most people could still chalk up Amiibo to, you know, just being DLC that's physical.
Yeah.
But with Labo, it's, you know, you kind of see some similarities to like, what was that Lego set where things started getting even more like engineering?
Mindstorm?
Maybe. I don't know. They have like an advanced Lego thing.
Like Technica or something?
Maybe I'm thinking of Technic or something. But yeah, I mean, that's kind of where you see Nintendo kind of going, and that's pretty exciting. But yeah, the price a little high for me, especially when you consider all those things combined, $130.
I
would have rather seen a model maybe where there was a game and then you can buy the cardboard add-ons for a lower price.
So you would say buy the game for $50 and the cardboard for $20?
Well, okay, but sort of, but if you know, because right now combined it's going to be 130. So if the game's maybe, I don't know, maybe like 40, and then the cardboard pieces were like 20 or something, I think it would be a little more reasonable, something I could get into. But like 130 for all of it?
Well, I think there's two games, because I don't think it's the same game in both kits.
No, I know it is. I know it is two different games.
Yeah,
yeah.
So that's why I was saying, you know, the game 50, the cardboard 20. Well, then you're at 70, which is what one of the kits cost.
Right. But, you know, I just the price to entry in this stuff is a little bit, it's just a bit much for me to do all that stuff. I just, you know, even if it was like $70 for like the robot, which, or, you know, if it was like piecemeal or whatever, I don't think I'd be into it.
No, but I know that all my friends with kids, they're excited about this.
That's awesome. I don't have a kid. I have a cat. And the cat would definitely make use of the cardboard, but not in the way I would want them to.
Right. So, or, you know, crafty people who are like, ooh, I could draw on it and I could put colored tape on it.
Yeah, kind of make it your own.
Yeah.
But I wonder, would the, and this may sound like a crazy thing, but would the weight of the ink or paint or, you know, bedazzle, whatever you're going to do that little robot, would that kind of screw up that very, I imagine it's got to be a pretty sensitive thing to get that to move with the HD Rumble. And it's probably not going to work very well on carpet. You're going to have a very flat surface for that. So.
Right.
You know, I still wonder if there aren't some limitations within that. But I do, you know, again, for kids expressing their creativity and, you know, it's something very accessible for, you know, lots of kids, I think that's really cool. But just for me, I think I would just rather buy Bayonetta 1 and 2.
Right. Which they're still giving you.
Yes.
You know, that's what a lot of people, you know, because a lot of people think that Nintendo can only do one thing at a time.
Not true.
And it's not true. And the people that made this are completely different than the people that are hopefully giving us Virtual Console.
Right. So, you know, hopefully all of that to come. Maybe we'll see it at E3 or something like that, but to be determined.
So what else kind of happened this week? Because I was out for half the week and just not paying attention to anything.
Something that we'll talk about a little bit on OLR tonight that I think would catch your attention, because I know you're a fan of Forza Horizon, right?
Yeah.
We both love that series. Apparently, there's rumors out there that studio is actually the ones that have been tapped to bring back Fable, which means this is a non-Lionhead Fable game. Right. This could be really interesting.
And no Peter Molyneux talking about planting a tree as a kid.
Nope.
And watching it grow up.
He will not be in there to screw up some of the PR, which maybe Microsoft is sensitive to after, you know, not just all of that and the... Oh, what was that thing he did on the mobile devices, the what's in the box or whatever that is. And then, but more importantly, after No Man's Sky, you know, that game got really hazed for the way it was presented to people. And maybe Molyneux is becoming more of a liability than an asset in some regards.
Well, that's why they got rid of him, like, because he was gone years ago. He hasn't been with Microsoft for a long time. And then Lionhead was closed down years ago.
I still think, you know, obviously he's done some amazing things for gaming and history, and, you know, things like Black and White and stuff is just, you know, all-time classics. But, Molyneux, if he just stuck to kind of developing and less the PR part of it, I think it would be great.
Yeah.
No, he really enjoys talking about what he's thinking, and sometimes you can't do that.
Yeah. Some people are great at it. He's not so great.
And Kaijudo says Fable with cars sounds dumb. You know, just because you've made a car game doesn't mean that's the only thing you can make.
Yeah, I think that's kind of the exciting part of it is that, you know, these guys who are most well-known for a car game are getting to make something completely different. Sometimes studios make different games. I can think of locally, Ubisoft in San Francisco was pretty well-known for Rocksmith, right? Mm-hmm. And they went on to do a lot of work with the new South Park game. And those two genres don't really have much in common, but, you know, both came out pretty good.
And you know, we can make fun of Guitar Hero all we want because, you know, Guitar Hero originally was a Harmonix game.
Right.
But then when Activision got it, it went to Neversoft, made right. Guitar Hero 3, and Neversoft was mostly known for the Tony Hawk series.
Hmm. Yeah.
So, and everybody's like, oh, it's going to be, you know, skateboarding with guitars. No, it wasn't.
And then one of those studios has had horrible luck. I think it's Freestyle that did DJ Hero, and then they did the Guitar Hero Revival. And I say horrible luck because, like, their games have been great. But I think with DJ Hero, the juice in music gaming had just kind of run out a little bit for that moment. And, you know, with Guitar Hero Reboot, I think people were kind of – I guess they were just past it. I think they weren't ready for a new – you know, a new peripheral, a new... I think people were kind of irritated the old stuff wouldn't work.
Let me share you a story about Rock Band. So I have a local friend of mine. He actually is the guy that hosted our New Year's party this year. Huge fan of Rock Band. In fact, the only reason he got a PS3 was to have Rock Band. So he's one of those people. Like, he actually owned a couple, like two or three other games still in the shrink wrap. So he is not a video gamer at all. He's very much, he's actually an illustrator for like pen and paper RPG books. Hmm. So he's actually like an illustrator. He actually has table at Dragon Con. You've probably met him. Because he's usually presenting at Dragon Con.
I meet a lot of people at Dragon Con in various states of sobriety. Don't give me a quiz.
Yeah. But anyway, like the only video game he played was Rock Band. And when Rock Band 4 came out, I told him, don't buy a PS4 for this. Because when Rock Band 4 came out, it was terrible. Remember?
Yeah. Yeah, I do.
And so because he was all set to plunk down the money for a PS4 and get Rock Band 4 and upgrade everything. And I'm like, look, it's Rock Band 3 is still a better game.
Yep.
Then when the Rivals expansion came out, I'm like, you know, now it's getting to the point. Sure. And so for Christmas, he actually got a PS4, and then he ordered the Rock Band 4 band kit.
And he was PS4s were probably $100 cheaper now than when you had suggested or when Rock Band 4 first came out.
Probably.
Yeah.
Here's the problem though, because you can't find Rock Band 4 anymore, really.
Uh-oh.
He had to get it from some Amazon seller.
Uh-huh.
And so he gets it all, and he's like, yeah, like, you know, two nights before New Year's, he's going to set everything up, make sure it all works and all that stuff. And then he opens up the box, and the game's gone.
Oh, no.
And the box was actually designed in such a way that you can actually open the box, get the game out, and reseal the box very easily.
Oh, gosh.
So he had guitar, drum set. He had the pro cymbal pack. He had everything. All he was missing was the game, and it's the Saturday before New Year's Eve, and he basically was having a Rock Band themed New Year's party.
Oh, no. So you have to cough up the extra money and just get it digitally, or what ended up happening?
Well, first I put out the call on Twitter. People might have seen this where I'm like, hey, does anybody have the PS4 disc locally in Atlanta? You know, or something, because apparently I think what it is it came with the disc and then inside had a download code for the Rivals expansion because he got the Rivals band pack.
Right.
And, you know, but it was taken out. So somebody probably just took it out and is selling it on eBay or something. So I put the call out, and actually, the DCD, who we know, another gaming journalist that, you know, covers, I think he works at Prima Games.
Yeah, I come across this stuff. It's like comicbooksomething.com or come across this stuff. I know he's in Denver.
Yeah. And also, side note, he's the guy who sold the Szechuan sauce to Deadmau5. Anyway. Yes, same guy. So he actually said, well, let me look. He had some codes that Harmonix sent him. He has no clue what they are, but they're for PS4, and they were around the time of Rock Band. So he sent over the codes, and one of the codes was invalid, but the other one was actually the Rivals expansion pack.
Oh.
But we still don't have the base game. But we wound up just using Rock Band 3 for the night, and so he then contacted the seller, and the seller was like, oh, darn, the game was missing. Here's $50 back. Good luck. So now he's going around. He's going to go try to, like, you know, hit up, like, a GameStop or something that maybe has a used copy of the disc, and then use that code and finally get it. But, like, that was kind of crappy, and he was so disappointed. Like, he was mad. Because, like, this is literally the only reason he bought a PS4 was to play Rock Band 4 on New Year's Eve, and they couldn't even put the disc in the game. They couldn't keep the game in the box.
Well, that's depressing.
And Kaijudo says, can't he just buy the digital version? He could have. That's why they gave him the money. But he didn't want to do it before New Year's because he's like, I've already paid for this. Why do I have to pay for it again?
Right.
So that was our New Year's story of our Rock Band fun. But I did get Jackbox Party Pack 3 installed on his PS4, and so we played Trivia Murder Party on it instead. So now he has two things now that he can play on his PS4.
Great. Two uses for a PS4. That's awesome.
Yes. And Kaijudo S says there isn't a digital version. There is. You can actually buy the Rock Band 4 bundle with Rivals digitally. Yes. He did not want to do that because he already paid for the game once. It was kind of a personal thing with him.
It's the principle. He shouldn't have to buy it twice.
But then they refunded his money, so he could have. But now it's cheaper, actually, to go try to find the used disc and then just use the code that was supplied to us graciously by the DCD.
Flea Market would be a great place to check for that type of stuff because that's where stuff goes that isn't really quality checked.
Right.
So, yeah. Good luck.
All right. So what else are you guys going to be talking about on OLR tonight?
Well, we're going to talk about stuff and things. We're going to talk about music games as well, actually. Joining us over Skype tonight, we're going to have a really old friend. Well, I make it sound like he's actually old in age. We're old in age. But old pal of Orange Lounge Radio is going to be joining us via Skype tonight, Mel B. And Mel is pretty well known from his time as a DDR freestyler. Actually, I don't think he ever quit. It's just DDR freestyle took a back seat for a little while. But it's coming back in a big way next weekend. We're going to talk all about that, a quote-unquote local DDR tournament that's coming up next weekend if you're in Northern California. But thanks to the magic of all the technology we've gained in the last 15 years, you'll be able to watch it all over the world. We'll talk about that coming up next at OLR.
All right. And I hear there might be something new announced tonight.
There is more surprises in store tonight, so you definitely want to going to want to stay tuned to OLR because we might have something, as the DDR announcer would say, it's new.
Orange Lounge Radio is up next. Thanks so much.
Thanks as always, Bobby.
So that is it for me. I will be back next Sunday night, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, right here on the Voice Geeks Network at VogNetwork.com. Catch us live and interact with the show directly. I will not be here in 2 weeks. There is an opportunity for me to socialize with my friends while there is some sports going on that thankfully I have no emotional interest in this year, so it's going to be fantastic. I will not be here in 2 weeks because I'm going to be hanging out with some other friends. But I'll be back with you guys next week and 2 weeks after that. Sunday nights, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, right here on the Voice Geeks Network at VogNetwork.com. Leave me a voicemail on any topic. Leave a bumper for you in the show on the toll-free number 1-888-36-GAME-1. Or you can email me an MP3 to bumpers at BobbyBlackWolf.com. Facebook.com/BobbyBlackWolf or Twitter at BobbyBlackWolf is where I will be. And you can also submit feedback on the episode pages here at VogNetwork.com. Hey, if you like the show, tell a friend. If you hate the show, tell an enemy. I don't care. Just tell someone. The show is not for everybody, but it may be for somebody who does not know about it yet. But we would not be able to make the live show work without the help of the chatters. So thank you very much, Dark Tetsuya, DC Nate, Hecht, Ronma, VXJCXV, Bird, Doomplague, Fifth Dream, Shatter Next Gen, Tiger Claw, Acteft, Alt, Bacon Bits, Bull, Brad from Pod Culture, DJ Melvis, Dungeon Buster, E3VL, Fantaz, Fluke, JD, Kaijudo, Kazan, Matt Fox, MXC, Rackhat, Raginator, Rob Roberts, Soraya, Spiffy, SJ100Matt, and Zeba. Thank you guys so much for being here on episode 600. I've been doing this for a long more time. Maybe one day I'll hit episode 1200 in my walker and cane telling you to get off my lawn.
A winner is you. The views and opinions expressed are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and are not necessarily the opinions of
the VOG Network, people who need to hire new voiceover guys,
or your mom. Although if Bobby said it, it really should be. This has been a production of Bobby Blackwolf Studios.